Does America have Christian roots? Well, critics say no, but often the stones themselves speak. That is, you can go around parts of Washington, D.C., and Philadelphia, and Boston, and other places, and if you know what you're looking for, you can find all kinds of examples of the powerful role the Bible and the Christian faith played in the creation of our nation. Author Stephen McDowell is the president and co-founder of the Providence Foundation, not to be confused with Providence Forum. He often leads tours on our nation's Christian roots, and he joins us now to discuss. And by the way, my name is Jerry Newcomb. I'm the executive director of Providence Forum, which was founded by Dr. Peter Lobeck and given to the Ministry of Coral Ridge Ministries. But we welcome our colleague in the faith who does faith and freedom tours in the D.C. area and beyond, Stephen McDowell, again, co-founder of the Providence Foundation. Today, Stephen, it's great to have you back on the program, and I'd like to focus on the U.S. Capitol, because I understand you do tours there. What can one find in the U.S. Capitol related to America's Christian roots?
Well, first, it's great to be with you, Jerry, and the Capitol, my favorite building in D.C., is full of the Christian history of America. You can begin in the Rotunda. The Rotunda is that large room in the under the central dome of the Capitol. It's about 180 feet tall, 100 feet wide, and there are eight large paintings in that room, about 14 by 20 feet in size, and the four on the eastern side deal with the colonization period from 1492 when Columbus discovered, opened up the New World, and to up into near our independence. And then the four paintings on the western side deal with our revolutionary and independence time. And so, for example, one of those paintings, you know, I mentioned Columbus in 1492. Most Americans were taught Columbus sailed the ocean blue. They know that fact, but what they don't know is what motivated Columbus to set out on his journey. And he wrote about it in his first log of the journal, but especially in a book he wrote after his third voyage called Book of Prophecies. He published in 1502 or 3, or he wrote it at that time. And it contains hundreds of prophetic scriptures that Columbus believed he was fulfilling on a divine mission. He believed he was called to carry the gospel to the ends of the earth. It also contains letters he wrote to King and Queen of Spain, Ferdinand and Isabella, for example, one of which said it was the Lord who put into my mind, I could feel his hand upon me, the fact that it would be possible to sail from here to the Indies. And so when he landed in 1492, October of that year, on an island in what is today the Bahamas, he went ashore, led his men in prayer. He stood up and took possession of the island for Spain, the country for which he was sailing, and he called it San Salvador, Holy Savior. He named it after his Savior, and there's a painting in the Rotunda that shows Columbus right after that event. Now, we know he believed that God was using him to discover new lands, really. But it wasn't Columbus or the country of Spain that colonized what became the United States. It'd be over 100 years later before the first permanent English settlement took root, and that was at Jamestown in 1607. And one reason they came, according to their charter, was to propagate the Christian religion to such people as yet live in darkness and miserable ignorance of the true knowledge and worship of God. So they came to propagate the gospel, and many Indians, many Native Americans were converted to the Christian faith by those early settlers. The most famous one was Pocahontas, and after she was converted in 1614, she was baptized in the church at Jamestown, and so one of those paintings in the Capitol Rotunda shows the baptism of Pocahontas. She's there, her pastor's there, and the gentleman, John Rolfe, whom she would marry not long after that, is there as well. But this is a declaration to those millions of people who visit the Capitol. Here is a primary reason why the early settlers came to America, to propagate the gospel.
And we should add that on that painting, it mentions her baptismal name, which was Lady Rebecca. Go on.
Yeah, that was her Christian name. In fact, so every one of these eight paintings has a Christian history. In my book, In God We Trust Tour Guide, I talk about these. You know, right next to the baptism of Pocahontas is the departure of the pilgrims from Holland 13 years after Jamestown was settled in 1620. These people, who we now call pilgrims, who had been forced to flee England because they were persecuted for their Christian faith. They'd lived in Holland about 12 years, and then after, for various circumstances, lacking religious liberty and other things, in 1620, they came to the new land of America. And when they left Holland that summer, they proclaimed a day of prayer and fasting. And there's the painting in the Capitol Rotunda shows the pilgrims observing that day of prayer and fasting on the day they left Holland to start at what would become the Plymouth colony. And so in the center of that painting, it shows William Brewster. He was an elder in their church. He served as their first pastor in the New World, and he has an open Bible on his lap. That would have been the Geneva Bible. That's the Bible early settlers carried with them. And you can clearly see it has written on that open Bible the New Testament of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then up on the upper left-hand sail is the phrase, God with us, which marks well the whole lifestyle of these people who've been called the parents of our republic. So here, you know, today some of these secularist people try to say we're started by a bunch of atheists, or deists at best, but here we have, if these were atheists, we already see a couple of baptism, you know, prayer meetings and a baptism taking place here by these so-called secularists who founded America. And I could go through every one of those.
Well, in fairness to the ACLU types with whom I totally disagree, I'm totally on your side. They might say, well, okay, the settlers, you know, they were religious and that was their problem. But by the time you get to the founding fathers 150 years later, now they're the men of the Enlightenment. But of course, you and I know that's not true. They're taking a couple of, exceptions and making them out to be the rule. That's part of their philosophy. But what's the fourth painting related to the settling era, in the Capitol Rotunda?
Well, that's Hernando on the Mississippi. Hernando de Soto was a Spanish explorer. And in the painting, you can see, you know, with these Spanish explorers that settled not what became the United States, but Central and South America. He did explore in the early 1500s the Mississippi River, but they would carry often priests with them to share the gospel. And many of these priests were devout men, devout believers with a genuine faith, some not so much. But you can see in the painting, the priests are there, they have a cross there. So even that painting reflects, you know, the Christian faith to the degree that those settlers knew it at that time.
Okay, now let's talk about the four paintings in the rotunda of the U.S. Capitol that are related to the founding era. I remember one of them is the Declaration of Independence when that was being accepted. And where does Christianity fit into that, please?
Yeah, and that is the most probably famous, well-known painting. It shows the signers of the Declaration of Independence. 56 men signed that document in the summer of 1776, which declared her independence. And most of those men are represented in the painting, not all of them. But when you begin to look at their lives, all but two or three of those men who signed our founding covenant were Christian men. They were Orthodox Christians. And even the two or three that weren't, the most well-known are Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin, even those Jefferson considered himself a Christian. He went to church all his life, started a church, served on the vestry of the church, the elected leadership. So he said, I am a Christian in the sense I believe in the teachings of Jesus. So while he held to some unorthodox views, he nonetheless proclaimed himself a Christian. Franklin did not proclaim himself a Christian, but nonetheless, he had a biblical worldview. But these are just two of the 56 men. Every other one would have been Orthodox Christians. You know, we have on our website, providencefoundation.com, years ago, I went and read the wills, the last will and testaments of over 100 founding fathers, extracting from dozens and dozens of them a profession of their faith in God, and not any God, but in the God of the Bible. And so you can go and read some of the professions of their faith, proclaiming that we believe in the atoning work of Christ Jesus for my salvation, that type of terminology. So that's just one of many points of evidence that would say these men, they weren't just religious men, they were Christian men. Now, they were from different denominational backgrounds. Some of them were more devout than others. But we have many different books and writings, one, America's Providential History, another one, America, Christian Nation, that goes through and examines many of these founding fathers to show that their profession of faith, the laws that they made, the institutions they started, all of these reflect their Christian faith.
And you can see an example, too, with the Declaration of Independence, where it mentions God four times. Believe it or not, we only have a few minutes left here, so forgive me for interrupting, but I understand there's a painting there related to Yorktown and a painting related to George Washington in Annapolis or something like that. And then there's one last painting. How about if we just cover those? That alone is it's going to take us up to the end of this show. But, in the Capitol, there's still much, much more we could even talk about. Maybe we'll have you on again for part two or something about the U.S. Capitol. But go ahead and explain the other three paintings, if you would.
Next to the signers is the Surrender of Burgoyne at Saratoga. Saratoga was a battle during the American Revolution. One historian called it one of the seven most important battles in the history of the world. The reason that is because with that victory, France decided we're going to become an ally with America. They might win this thing. So we got much needed money.
Wait, you said Battle of Burgoyne? Do you mean perhaps Yorktown?
Saratoga.
Oh, Saratoga. Oh, okay. Yeah, go ahead.
The Battle of Saratoga. And that battle, God miraculously intervened using events of the weather and other things to assure the American victory. And after that battle became known, the Continental Congress proclaimed a day of prayer and thanksgiving. Said, let's give thanks to God because he gave us this victory during the war. Similar thing happened to the painting next to it is the surrender of Cornwallis at Yorktown. That occurred in October of 1781. That was the last major battle of the war. It took place in Yorktown, Virginia. And here again, God supernaturally intervened using the weather to assure the American victory at Yorktown, and in response, the Continental Congress proclaimed a day of prayer and thanksgiving. Washington issued orders to his troops saying, every one of you not on active duty shall go to church and give thanks to God, attend divine service to be held to the next day, and give thanks to God for the victory that he has given us. So we see God moving in those two paintings depicting important battles in the war, and the Congress acknowledging that by giving a day of prayer and thanksgiving. And then the last painting is Washington surrendering his commission as commanding general of the American Revolution, which reflects a lot about the character of this indispensable man, the father of our country, because Washington, with the leading the American troops to victory, became the most famous man in the world. And instead of holding on to power, gladly laid down his power to assure the civilian control of this new nation that God had given birth to.
ProvidenceFoundation.com for more information. Stephen McDowell, thanks so much. All the best.
My pleasure.